Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today the whole church has its focus on the real meaning of fasting. Jesus had corrected our notion of fasting on Ash Wednesday when he said we're not supposed to fast like all the rest to gain the attention of others, but we're supposed to be fasting precisely so that we're able to enter into communion with the Father, so that we're able to hunger for every word that comes from his mouth, so that ultimately we're able to hunger for what God hungers for. We're going to get to that in what the Lord said to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah. But first, Jesus describes almost a reality in which we shouldn't be fasting. It's a little bit confusing in our Christian life what Jesus says in the gospel, but when we grasp it, then we'll get the real purpose of what our Lenten fast is supposed to be, as well as our lifetime fast is supposed to be. The disciples of John the Baptist approached Jesus. Important for us to grasp that. It wasn't the Pharisees who were trying to trip Jesus up, test him, find a reason to criticize him. These were the disciples of John, and we know how much John fasted. He used to eat locusts and wild honey, right? Disgusting. His disciples learned a fast from John the Baptist. They fasted a lot. And then they go up to Jesus and say, "Hey, listen, we're fasting all the time." And they don't say, because of a certain respect and a refinement, they don't say, "Why aren't you fasting, Jesus?" They kind of deflect the criticism, "Why aren't your disciples, Jesus, fasting?" Just like we fast and the Pharisees fast much. Jesus answered with something that's key for us to grasp about who we are as Christians. He says, here the translation's bad. The translation is, "Can the wedding guests mourn?" The real Greek is, "Can the sons of the wedding chamber mourn?" Basically, all his groomsmen. Can the bridegroom's groomsmen mourn when the groom is with them? Celebrating his wedding, celebrating his upcoming nuptials, getting ready for him to go receive his bride. Is that a time really to be fasting? Should be a time for the greatest of all celebrations. We are all meant to be sons and daughters of the wedding chamber. First and foremost, when people look at us, we're supposed to be people in their eyes full of joy, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of all the problems we confront when we go home. We're supposed to be sons of the wedding chamber. To Jesus, a bridegroom, that Christianity is all about love. But then he says, the days will come when the bridegroom's taken away, and then they will fast. That verb, taken away, means ripped out. That's precisely the violence that would be used in the Garden of Gethsemane when that bridegroom was ripped away from them. But Jesus did rise from the dead, and he promised in his valedictory address that he would be with us always until the end of time. So if the bridegroom is with us, and he is, just as much as he was with the sons of the wedding chamber in the gospel when John the Baptist's apostles came on up. If he's with us, and he is, why are we fasting? Because there's a paradox in life. Yes, the bridegroom is with us, but we're not fully with him. And the reason why we fast is not because he's totally absent. He wants to be fully present. The reality is that we have not allowed him yet to be fully present in our life. And so we begin to fast so that he can become all in all. We fast so that those parts of our personality that are not under control are able to be submitted to his majesty, so that we can start to hunger in all our desires for what he hungers. That's why we still fast in time. But we fast differently than all the rest. Jesus told us on Sunday that some of the people, when they fast, cover their face with white paste so that everybody looks as if they're fasting. They look gloomy when they go about. Jesus says that when we fast as sons of the wedding chamber. We fast with joy, but at the same time a recognition that there are parts of us that are not yet at that wedding feast. This helps us to appreciate much more God's type of fasting that he demands of us through the prophet Isaiah. At the beginning, God tells Isaiah, cry full-throated and unsparingly. Let it rip, Isaiah, God the Father says. Let your voice rise as a trumpet blast. Tell the people their wickedness. Why? Because when they were fasting and they knew how to fast, when they were fasting, they were intending that God would just snap to command, immediately answer the questions for which they were praying. And God said no. No. Why do we fast and you do not see it, you ask me, God says? Why do you afflict yourselves and why do we afflict ourselves and you take no note of it, he asks? Because he says, on the days you fast, rather than carrying out my pursuits, rather than longing for what I hunger for, you carry out your own pursuits. You drive all your labors, you treat them with uncharity. Your fasts, rather than leading to brotherhood, rather than leading to mutual love, lead to quarreling and fighting. You strike each other with a wicked claw. What an image. Like a bear going on the attack to slay someone. That's what happens at the end of your fasts. Would that today you fast so as to make your voice heard on high. God wants the prayer of our body, wants our fasting to pierce the clouds. But it's not if our fasting's leading us to pride. It's not if our fasting's leading us to uncharity and grumpiness. It's not if our fasting is leading us not to accomplishing what the Lord's asked us to do over the course of a given day. He wants our fasting to help our prayer pierce the clouds. But the only way it will is when our fasting leads us to hunger for what he hungers. And what does he hunger for? This is the manner of fasting I wish. This is the way I want you to keep a day of penance. Release those bound unjustly. That's what God hungers for. Any captives. He wants us to release them. That's what Jesus did when he came to the synagogue, right? Nazareth. To proclaim liberty to the captives. We carry out that same mission. Untying the thongs of the yoke. Those who are weighed down by yoking themselves to misery. Setting free the oppressed. Breaking their yoke. There are so many oppressed by depression, so many were oppressed by their memory, so many were oppressed by those who are constantly exploiting them, so many who are oppressed too by the devil. Sharing your bread with the hungry, that's what he wants us to do when we fast. Not just save our food in the cupboard, but recognize that there are others going hungry that day who fast not by choice, but who fast because of circumstances. God wants our fasting to increase our love for them, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, really caring for those who have no home, clothing the naked when you see them, even if it means taking off her own cloak, or like St. Martin of Tours, cutting it in half and sharing it. As our closets keep getting bigger, and when they're not big enough, we get storage units. Lord wants us to share what we have with others. Not turning your back on your own, one of the worst sins that can possibly be committed, that we turn our back on our own family, turn our back on those closest to us. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount castigated those who said, whatever you were expecting from me, mom and dad, is korban, dedicated to God. You're not getting a penny. It's not the way to honor father and mother. Not turning your back on your own, especially when they get old, especially if they start suffering dementia, especially if there are wounds that need to be forgiven, never turning back. We might not be able to be present every day. The greatest way we can care for our loved ones is truly with the power of our prayers. But never turning our back, never washing our hands, never forgetting our responsibilities, never turning against husband or wife, never turning our back with a failure to forgive. When we start to hunger for what God hungers, for us to care for our loved ones, for us to clothe Jesus when he's naked in the disguise of another, to feed Jesus when he's hungry in the disguise of another, that's when our light will break forth like a beautiful dawn. That's when our wounds will be healed. That's when we will be vindicated. And that's when we will be surrounded by the glory of God. That's when we will call the Lord and the Lord will answer, here I am. There's part of us that is not yet fully united with the Lord. And that's why we fast. Because what the Lord has just indicated in the first reading are precisely the ways we're not yet fully united with what the Lord hungers for. When we start to do that, then we will no longer need to fast, because Jesus will be fasting in us, the mystical body, as we go out and carry out the fulfillment of that hunger. We always precede Mass with a Eucharistic fast for precisely this reason, to help us to recognize that there are parts of our life that are not yet in holy communion with the one we're about to receive. Our fast is meant to increase our hunger. We ask the Lord to help us fast always better, to fast as the sons and the daughters of the wedding chamber, as we prepare on the wedding bed of the church to receive within ourselves the body and blood of the divine bridegroom, as we, the bride, have our nuptial joy reach its holy consummation.